MGTOW Man, welcome back. So before I get into it, if there's one point that I want to get across today, it's the point that physical manifestations of wealth are the only manifestations of wealth that count in the eyes of mainstream society, culture, and subsequently many of the women that men are trying to date today and marry. So if you're not showing it physically, you're not actually wealthy. Because what's the point of being wealthy if you're not showing it physically? Thus, I think that the overall point of this video is ghosting. And ghosting is a pillar of life for MGTOW. Whether this MGTOW is a monk, whether he's still trying to get some, ghosting lines, ghosting techniques, they are all very simple. But this is the discussion on this ultimately today. So it's good to be here. I normally don't like to upload later on a Saturday, but the past 2 weeks have been absolutely all over the place, and this is when we're uploading. But what's today about? Today is about a conversation that was spurred on with a friend that I was having late last night. I was just kind of rambling, and bear with me with this late night epiphany that I guess I had. So the conversation was prompted by me, and I just said, if you're constantly putting napkins and Kleenex tissue boxes on the grocery list, you're probably married. You're probably not MGTOW. You're either married or you're looking to be married. You're probably not able to go your own way. And there are a lot of items that you're going to be buying if you're married or looking to be married. Even if you're the 29-year-old single guy that is finally getting his career feet underneath him, many of them are still looking to be married at 33 to some 26-year-old. But if he's in that mindset, his bachelor pad may still have more napkins and puff tissues than's needed. And what I'm getting at here is if your hands get messy, just wash them off in the sink or use some freaking toilet paper. Everybody, no matter what, needs toilet paper. If that's the case, you can just buy toilet paper and have it take care of everything else. And so whatever, do you guys, this is just a thought that came from my mind and then it extended to other items. And I just kept saying, napkins are not a sign of going one's own way. Unless you're eating baby back ribs and some hot wings, they're not going to have much purpose. And if the item that you purchased is single use, it probably is something that you bought because you were trying to appease your wife. Single use items, a toaster, I ain't buying that. First of all, I'm not even trying to eat the bread. But if you wanted your bread toasted, just put it on a freaking multi-purpose iron skillet or zap it in a toaster oven if you have, because at least the toaster oven can be used to cook a myriad of things. But when do people mostly get toaster ovens or toasters? They get toasters at wedding shower gifts or from wedding shower gifts. They get them on the registry at Target. Okay, men don't understand that when they marry today, they're also marrying consumerism. They're inviting consumerism into their home, and they are going to have to make good friends with it to survive. And when you marry today, you marry contrary to your identity as male in many ways. You marry clutter, especially if you're living in urban Western culture. And what happens is that you marry Target. You marry Bed Bath & Beyond. You marry Best Buy. You marry Lowe's. Trips to the grocery store all scrambled on a Saturday night for this huge dinner party that you're throwing running $600. You marry a treadmill of consumerism. And the thing is, when you're in this, you can't even really back out of it if you want to keep the marriage afloat, because it's always going to be evaluated based on your ability to marry consumerism. So, and sure, there are situations where this is not even possible. So the threat of this is not there because of proxy, because there's just an overall straight up dearth of having any sort of wealth laying around. But in that situation, the marriage is going to fail for other reasons. But in order to tend the field of the marriage, you have to toil in the aisles of these stores. A man that's unhinged is never going to set foot in Bed Bath & Beyond. At least I know I won't. He has just deleted 90% of the consumer paradises in the Western world. He's deleted them all. This is because courting and keeping a marriage now is based on the man's ability to physically manifest this idea of wealth. Physically show it. If he is accruing wealth, but he's ghosting it, he's not spending, but he's saving, even if his bank account has racked up over 7 figures, if he's not showing it physically, then he apparently is not wealthy. Well, fine with me. I'm happy about that. And why is this? This is because money not spent on himself will not be spent on her. And the misnomer right here is that this man is a Scrooge. The misnomer right here is that this man is an evil man. This man is not generous in any sense. He is working on Christmas Eve and he's not a family person. But oftentimes this man can bless so many more people. This man is actually capable of blessing a community. He is capable, if he wants to, or capable of blessing a cause, because he has the life agility and the financial mobility to do so. He doesn't have to funnel it into an investment that might even fail. A small, very limited funnel, pinhole-sized investment existing in the walls of his house. And first and foremost, a man that has monetary latitude, he has a chance to make money and spend it, but he doesn't, indicates to her that, you know, the woman that would be interested, he's not willing to spend it on her. If he's not willing to spend it on himself to treat himself to a new Rolex, a new car, a nice haircut, fine grooming, then he's not going to be dishing it out on her. Okay, it's an evaluation of what she can expect. And clothing can be viewed as childlike. This is the second thing here. And this is not desirous because it's viewed as an inability to provide. So this goes into ghosting and clothing and ghosting and appearance and ghosting. So anything that indicates a juvenile appearance or a semblance of one's teen years, childhood that lingers on in the mind of the wife, a girlfriend, is a subconscious indication of an inability to provide. It will be framed as immaturity. And we don't really even dissect immaturity. So what's the problem with immaturity? The reason that immaturity is shamed in this instance is because immaturity is going to be linked with an inability to provide. It always comes back to survival. So immaturity means not equipped. So if someone is immature, it's assumed that he can't handle himself in a sales deal, in a boardroom, in a business setting, in a situation where he has to throw his weight around as a man to get the resources from his home because he's going to be kicked to the side. And that's why it's shamed, and that's why it's so effective to wear hoodies, to wear ball caps, to dress simply. And that's why it's so perplexing to see the same men that are wealthy, that are doing well in business, that dress in a suit 5 times a week, but look as casual as possible on the weekend. It's so bemusing to society because they don't understand this duality. They don't understand that the man is not trying to create his identity based on that suit. Okay, the man is using that suit as leverage. Okay, he's just doing it to get the resources that he needs to have the life agility. And I've told stories in the past about how I would wear hoodies of my old baseball teams. I'd wear fitted caps. I still do all the time, backwards. It's just I've done it my whole life. I'm not going to change. I'm not trying to impress anyone. But life without a hat, life without a hoodie is not a life in comfort for me. But if you're walking down the street and you pass a woman, the fact that you're wearing Nike shorts and a ball cap backwards indicates that you're not a good long-term investment. Cool. Because men that are actually interested in providing would present themselves better in public because they think those interactions have something riding on it. We don't. Thus, I'd get the line that I'm embarrassing to bring out in public. Essentially, it indicates vulnerability, especially amongst social groups. Okay, she's not inherently embarrassed about my personality or the fact that I have this style. She's insecure about her decision as the supposed gatekeeper for choosing this, because she's going to be vulnerable. And thus, I've got to be dressed to the nines, something that I have no interest in. And the thing right here is ghosting and mediocrity. That's the final point that I'm going to bring up. Okay, ghosting and mediocrity will build that which can't be seen. And we're trying to build things that cannot be physically seen or touched in many cases. So all the products that a MGTOW man truly has, at least I am trying to build, are the ones that cannot be seen. They're digital. They're internal. And that means the more that he is shamed, according to the amount that he is available to the public eye, the more he is actually able to ghost. So shaming is a good sign. It doesn't matter ultimately, as MGTOW are always maintaining life leverage, and you have possession of the ball. The possession arrow is always pointing in your favor of the scores table, on the scores table, so there's really no need to concern yourself with the shaming. So it's exasperating when you say no, and I'm not going to upgrade to something else, even though physically it's believed that you should and you have the means to do so. So I have a short story to share about this, and I may have shared it in the past, but I was dating, and the girl that I was dating had a better car than me, hands down, probably 15 years newer, worth 5 times as much. I'm driving down a family hand-me-down, thanks grandma and my late grandfather. It's getting rusty. It's one of the least flashy colors out there in the market. It's about to go into the 20s in age, and that car has been a blessing, and knock on wood, it hasn't had any major issues. So why not? I'm going to ride her out as long as I can. And one day, in getting into the car, I was asked, if you had the money, would you upgrade this car? And I said, no, it wouldn't serve me any purpose. And see, purpose is the key. We want purpose because we are interested in the creation side of things. They want to receive the fruits of the creation. So they're not going to be concerned with the need to be able to create and not clutter yourself with that new car. And if I want to create and I'm not concerned with the giving and receiving element, then my car is just a utility. It doesn't reflect at all about how I care about things or what I care about. So when I said that, she was bemused and she stated something like, I don't understand you sometimes, whatever it was. That's good. The world cares too much about the wrong things. We're trying to care less and less about more and more so that we can care more and more about which really matters. You know, and the ghosting message is in here and it breeds itself on humility and simplicity, practicality, and peace. And there are so many other elements of ghosting, obviously, one of which being transience or the ability to move forth and so forth. And where I've lived recently, nobody outside of work knows who that guy am. I'm a straight up ghost, and soon I'm going to be a ghost again, living somewhere else where nobody knows or cares about who you are. And it's the life that I prefer. And it's a simpler way of life as well. It's a humbler way of living. And I just want to leave with that, because this ghosting thing, it's up to you how you ghost. But it is important, and I'm going to bring up ghosting lines in the future. And also, before I leave, I've been meaning to make a shout out for one of my friends. He's reached out to me on Twitter many times. His name is Justin Mikula. We discuss things there on Twitter, and he runs a podcast he's trying to grow called the Stoic Solutions Podcast. I'll link his Twitter in the description, so give him a follow. He touches primarily on Stoicism as a philosophy. But I see many parallels in MGTOW and Stoicism, especially when you're discussing the freedom to stages of MGTOW philosophy. The freedom from stage of MGTOW philosophy may not center as much around Stoicism, but that's okay. And both will be touched on, and I look forward to that. That'll be on Thursday, so check out whenever it's uploaded. And if you have a similar story to share about the similar to the one that I discussed today, hit me up at sunrisecity@gmail.com or on Twitter at sunrisecity. Hoodies out, men. Hoodies out.